Hello and welcome to our first October episode of 42 Minutes. Today is the second, it's Tuesday, and as we near our first year of programs for this show, we're going to end with the beginning. The whole notion that kind of launched the program was the Sync Book, and the Sync Book begins with the Libyan Sybil. And so it just tickles me to death that we would talk to the beginning at the end. The alpha is the omega. And of course, the Libyan Sybil's birthday is April 1st, and she is the ultimate fool. And so today it's her day. And you can find her work at LibyanSybil44.blogspot.com. And she is in Atlantis. So, how are you doing today, Sybil?
I'm doing great. I finally came out of my cave to talk to you guys.
Well,
So,
what did you, was there a sign that brought you out that you need to relate to us? I'm ready for a sign.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think I know a couple of the topics that we're going to talk about, the two movies we're going to talk about. I think when I was asked about those particular movies, it just struck me, and I was like, I just felt like, okay, this is my sign. It's time for me to go ahead and say something.
These movies were really impactful for me. I mean, were the two movies we're going to talk about are Timothy Green and A Thousand Words with Eddie Murphy, but especially Timothy Green. I mean, there was a moment I know for a fact I was talking out loud during that movie, like, "Oh my God, are you seeing this?" Like, there were parts of that movie that were really impactful for me. Were both of these movies, not only together, but individually, I mean, were they important to you as well?
Yeah, definitely. They just really struck a personal chord as far, and even something that was really going on in my life right at the moment. 'Cause I just actually just saw the movie, this past weekend. I was late, so but something that was going on in my life right at that moment, and it was kind of like almost in the movie. So
Well,
I that was a sign for me as well.
I don't know anything about this. Could you tell us just a tiny bit? What is Timothy Green?
Timothy Green, it's an odd boy. the movie's basically like this couple, Cindy and Jim Green, they're trying to have a kid, and basically she finds out she can't have a kid, and then it just from that point it gets really magical and great because they kind of dream up this what they want their kid to be, and they're just talking about it and writing it down, put it in a box, bury it in the backyard, and like the next day, boom, Timothy Green grows out of the garden, and this kid shows up, at their house, and so and he's actually like, it's almost like I mean, literally they created him from there, they dreamed him up,
Right. Oh, that's
and.
funny because there's a movie out that I just went to called Ruby Sparks, which is the exact same thing, except it's a writer dreaming up his perfect girlfriend, and
Well,
he.
that's interesting you say the writer because I mean that's specifically what they do. They write down the traits that they would like to see in their kid, and each one of these particular things that they wrote down are the highlights of the kid's life. Does that make sense? Did you catch that? I mean, even my daughter caught that because I went and saw it with her, and she picked up the whole relationship to the leaf and the page. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like exactly what they write, word for word, is what his life becomes. And so it's, I mean,
Did you see the
it's a
relationship between that and A Thousand Words with Eddie Murphy? Every single leaf on the tree is a word.
it's a word, yeah. And then he was in the book industry, he's basically a book
Oh, I didn't
agent.
even think about that. That's so crap.
Yeah, so but in the beginning of the movie in
Of
A Thousand
course.
Words, he's basically like he's selling other people's books, other people's words, and he talks a lot, but he's not saying anything. It's like the Sound and the Fury, he's talking, but there's no depth to him, he's not listening, he's not feeling, he's just talking and he's selling books, other people's books, but he's not writing his own story. And then at the end he does.
Well, that's the same thing the parents do in Timothy Green, right? Because it's
Right.
the whole the I mean there's a couple of obvious symbols in Timothy Green. First of all, it takes place in autumn and you're dealing with pencil factory. So it's a back to school movie. Do you know what I mean? I mean that's obvious. That's like obvious marketing. But there's so much more undercurrent, like past the obvious of what they're getting at. One of the most reasons why it was special to me is because the two first videos I did, one was ISIS Incognito that had Jennifer – at the end of the video, Jennifer Garner becomes the surrogate Mary, right? Because she basically adopts Ellen Page or Juno's baby. She takes on that archetype as like the Mary, the surrogate Mary. And that's exactly what she does in this movie. Do you know what I mean? She becomes this adoptive mother.
Yeah, she does. There's a lot of little bit messianic symbolism in this movie. Because to me, even the names, the Cindy and Jim, that's a JC. And,
oh, I didn't think about that. That's nice. That's good.
And then in the 1,000 words, you got Jack McCall. But if you just take out the Mac, it's JC as well. And Jupiter Jack, you know, so it's just like,
that's
there.
That's cool.
And then the thing that Timothy Green does where he stretches out his arms, you know, he's like in the.
He's very Christ solar.
Yeah, like very Christ solar. Yeah.
Yeah, he puts out his arms to soak up the sun. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like there's a lot of symbolism there too, and yeah, with the so it's all in there. It's like this is a very deep movie. It's like you can watch it both of these movies, or pretty much all movies we know now. You can watch
right.
them on one level, you know, just for the entertainment of it. But then there's so many, there's different levels of
right.
of understanding just built into the movie. And the more you know, the more you see.
And
so.
Right, how did it relate to you in a personal? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, because that's another part of this, that whole and like your piece in the Sync book, it's talking about the spiritual. I mean, that's the thing that of course, yeah, there's things that look like they are on purpose in movies and that there's certain, like, hidden Masonic whatevers. That's there. I get that. But there's also this other level of that was the movie that I needed to see that today. Do you think that that's some trick on the imagination or that's – I mean, the way I read it is the way I read your piece in the Sync book. Like, this is – like, there's something to a spiritual growth where – you see what you're supposed to see when you see it.
Yeah, when you're supposed to see exactly, because like you guys contacted me about doing this, and I hadn't seen the movie yet, so I was like, oh, I gotta hurry up and go see the movie. And then I went to see the movie last Saturday or last week, and it turned out to be like exactly what I need to see that day,
right.
Because for me, this is really about becoming a responsible, conscious creator, because. Like we all have, to me, we all have the capacity to be a creator. We all, you know, kind of are creators in a way, but it's a process you have to go through to learn. And so, you know, really my Sync book chapter is really all about this process, this individual journey or this process you have to go through. And so that's what I got out of the movie. But I mean, you're going to get different things out of the movie depending on what you need to get out of it or, you know, in any instance. But to me, I saw a lot with this number. I don't know if you noticed this number 54 or 154.
Oh, yeah. Especially lately, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, which, of course, is, you know, we know from the guys over at the Sinkhole, the Gators.
Right.
You know, talk about it all the time as
Ed.
Far as it being Ed, yeah, E-D, which is really, they talk about it symbolizing, you know, the higher state or moving on to the next state or discovering,
right.
you know, kind of the meaning of life. And so that was in the movie Timothy Green a lot because, and I don't know if there was one scene where they were talking about they had picked 54 girl names and one boy name when Timothy Green showed up, because basically, like, you know, I guess they were really thinking they were going to have a girl, and then he turned out to be a boy, and they just had that one boy name, and his name was Timothy.
Right.
And then there was another scene in the movie where the soccer game scene where the dad was trying to get the ref to put Timothy in the game,
right.
and he was like, isn't there some law you can put him in, some rule 154? He said that. And then
– oh, yeah. I think I noticed that one too.
Yeah, and then at one point, the pencil factory, there's a sign on the wall that said 154 or something in the pencil factory. So I don't know if it was factory number 154 or something. But it's like –
You watch,
you know,
movies like I do. You do always scanning the background.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like – it's like I'm not even scanning anymore. It's like I'm at the point now, I guess I just see it.
Yeah.
So there's this element there of, you know, really moving to the next state. And in my opinion, it's like the parents were at this – they were kind of at this crossroads where they were good people, you know, they had a good life in this nice little town. But then they kind of hit rock bottom as far as not being able to have a kid. And then when they hit that rock bottom, then that's where then they really came into this next stage of development. And there's this point at the beginning of the movie where the mom's watching, she's watching TV, and it's just kind of like in the background where the show is playing and the lady's talking about how to plant a seed. And she's talking about, oh, there's dirt everywhere. You know, you go on the ground, there's dirt all over the ground, but you have to dig down like 12 or 14 inches to dig the hole to get to the good dirt that actually grows. And then when you dig the hole, you have to clear it out, and then you plant the seed, and then the seed will grow. Like, if you just drop it in the dirt, you know, there's dirt everywhere, but if you just drop it in the dirt on the top, it's not going to grow. And so she's describing this process, this growth process, and this empty, this digging this hole, this emptying out, you know, which is, you know, what I talk about a lot
Yeah,
in
you
my
said
physical
it.
chapter.
You have to empty to become full, I believe,
Right.
was something you said that struck me. Yeah.
Yeah, so with the in the movie, the mom's garden, and this whole concept of Timothy coming out of the garden, you know, to me it's really like a lot about that process. And so what struck me personally in the movie was the point when they had the dream that didn't come out exactly correctly, which is the dream they had of him, you know, shooting the or kicking the winning field goal,
See,
which he
yeah, and
did.
right, but he did it for the wrong team. It's interesting
Exactly.
because you said earlier you were
Did
talking
you
about.
just spoil the movie, Will?
Yeah, who
Oops.
gives a shit? There's a spoiler alert on any episode of 42 minutes. That shit's gonna happen. But, I mean, the thing you said, becoming a conscious creator, there's a good point to that. I mean, anybody who's messed with sigils or the whole magical practice of writing something you want and then making it into a design and then kind of like charging it up to actualize that into the reality, I mean, knows that you have to be very clear because the universe has a sense of humor like that.
Yes,
Th
it
this is
does.
something interesting about this movie though. There were certain times where once the kicker happened, once the disappointment happened, like in the game, you weren't disappointed though. I mean, it seemed so perfect because you're so excited, especially like that was one of the scenes in that movie where there's something going on that gets you very inspired. The parents are hyped out. You know it's coming. You know it's going to happen. So you're excited. There's funny things going. So you're laughing. Common won't let the kid move. The dad's going crazy. They're both talking to their family members like, "Kyle, watch. He's going to win the." But when he scores the wrong goal, you're almost like, "Of course he scored for the wrong
Yeah,
team."
exactly. Yeah, like, oh.
And
Yeah,
this.
because it's like, it's because it still happened. Because the great part is, it did still happen now. You know, it's like, it just didn't happen exactly the way that you wanted it to, but it's because you didn't write it. You didn't write it that way, you know.
Right,
So
right.
it's
Well,
like,
in
it
light
still,
of
but it still
the,
happened, though.
our, we recently talked to a guy who wrote about it's you know the mutants and mystics
You're talking about Kripal again.
where you're writing your own reality, and so
This guy, we're going to start talking. We're talking to Sybil.
it's
We're going to start talking about Philip K. Dick, man.
but what's fascinating is so in these movies where you have people becoming so they authorize their new future. They're writing the new earth, basically. You know, this is what we want. But then the other interesting thing to me, as someone coming out of the sync community, sync thing, is how it's not individual will anymore, that it seems like there's this the author isn't the sole agent anymore because they're connecting to this larger source and then they're letting the larger source kind of. So that's what's
So
fascinating.
that's
Where.
the lesson though is the whole thing we were talking about with the scoring the game though. You
Exactly.
have to be very concise in exactly what you're writing.
Right. You have to be specific. Do not hold back with the details. Once you get to the point where you realize. You know, there's a process, you know. So once you get to the point where you realize what point you are in the process, that you can create things, okay, now you have to realize, you know, the responsibility that comes along with it. Because to me, it's like everybody's running around talking about, you know, oh, they want to be a god. If you listen to hip hop and rap songs, everybody wants to be a king, queen, a god, lowercase g. But nobody really wants to do what it takes to become one. Because, I mean, you want to be a god, you have to think like God. And to be a creator, I mean, you're literally creating a world, you're creating worlds. And so when God has a bad day or stray thought, you know, that could result in, you know, creation of a whole deformed universe with a whole bunch of misshapen people running around and things. Hint, hint, maybe that's what happened here. So it's like, we don't want that happen again. And we're trying to, like, you know, keep that from going on. So
No
you really
stray
have
thoughts,
to,
no stray thoughts.
no, I mean, it's really about, you know, you have to be centered at all times, and you really have to be in this flow. Like what he was talking about, there is a larger sense of what you're connecting to, because like the tree, and even in 1,000 Words, like Eddie Murphy, that he and the tree became one. What the tree felt, he felt. Like
Right.
he hit the tree, he felt the pain. You know, the tree is
Well,
dying, he is dying. You know.
in E.T., it's the same thing where E.T. and Elliot are in sync, and
Right.
then they have to break them apart because E.T.'s dying and Elliot's also dying, and you know the humans are saying, well, we need to separate these two because it's no good for Elliot. But and
Right.
this is the thought I have about sync sometimes, is can you connect to something that's harmful, or is it you need to go into room 237 to, you know, burn off the impurities so you can rise from the ashes, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that because, you know, the house I just moved out of was my address was 237, and I was stuck in there for like 5 whole years. So yeah, you have to kind of, yeah, you do
So
have to
you
work
have to
through
go
it.
into room 237.
I was in there. Yeah, I was living there. I feel like I'm the symbol for, I'm just, I feel like I'm experiencing everything for everybody. So, you know, but yeah, I think you do. You have to go through that process and burn it so that you can recognize the difference between what you don't want to connect to and what you do want to connect to. Because in the beginning, it's all kind of just seems like the same thing, or you can't really tell the difference. You don't know. You just don't know anything in the beginning. So.
Okay, also something that you said, Doug, when you were mentioning E.T., you see the relationship between the extraterrestrial Elliot and what's in between him is the plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the gorilla in the room right here, is the obvious plant connotation as far as the boy being a plant. And this is another reason why that whole movie, Timothy Green, was special to me, because really, the only other video that I made that was a sync video was about plant consciousness. And somehow this mixed the two together, this whole Jesus child, baby, plant, like.
Well, so that's what's really fascinating to me recently. So 2001 and Nietzsche, you've got, you know, the apes trying to become gods, right? So you've got they start out as apes, and then towards the end, Hal Bowman goes beyond Jupiter and the infinite. You know, he becomes the divine child or whatever. But what's fascinating to me is there's the whole infinite monkey theory that if you put enough monkeys in a room with a typewriter, they will type out the complete works of Shakespeare.
Yeah, I think they would be closer to Finnegan's Wake, but I get what you're saying.
But the thing is that a monkey did type out the complete works of Shakespeare. His name was Shakespeare.
Yeah.
We are the infinite space monkeys. We're there. We just don't know it.
Hey, Sybil, have you seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes yet?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I have seen that.
This is kind of what you're saying, though, Doug, because at the plant is also very, it's a very blatant symbol used in Planet of the Apes. I mean, that's the last thing is him. There's always the scene of him climbing that tree. There's the tree in the middle of the monkey arena, and it all it's this the tree in the movie The Fountain, where Hugh Jackman's he's doing experiments on monkeys to save his wife, and his wife ends up becoming the tree. This plant towards the realm of dissension. I mean, did you see the Buddha
Yeah.
connotation in Thousand Words too? The whole, but he's sitting underneath the same type of tree that Buddha found enlightenment under.
That is true. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I also had a little bit about the tree. This is what I went back and looked and what I've written back in January. Or just I think I was emailing back and forth with Jason. Which okay, and I'm just gonna read this because I'm definitely not an expert on Kabbalah by any means, but I looked this up, and it was online. It was talking about the Kabbalistic view of the Shekinah, and it made me feel like really the whole movie, The Thousand Words, was about the union of the Shekinah, which is the tree of knowledge, and the Tifereth, which is the tree of life in Kabbalah,
Right.
and they represent that with numbers 5 plus 6 or 5 equals 6, and it's like the moon and the sun becoming each other. And there's this scene in the Thousand Words where in the daycare scene where his son is in the rocket and he says, "Do you want to go to the moon?" And then the rocket hits Eddie Murphy in the head, or almost like it looks like it hits him in the eye, which is the same symbology from the movie Hugo. I don't know if you've seen it with the rocket going into the eye of the moon.
Yes.
And then also in Kabbalah, they talk about the Shekinah being the divine word spoken, which, kind of explains like the whole no talking thing, because it's you're going from a human, just going around talking like a human that doesn't have wisdom, to you're joining, uniting with this divine source, and then it's becoming the divine word. Which in the beginning of the movie, when Eddie Murphy starts, he's saying, "You're not hearing my voice. You're hearing my inner. This is actually my inner voice that you're hearing," which is a different,
Right.
a different voice. This is like the divine word coming out. So, I just got that little piece, got that little piece from just looking online. I could see why, a lot of this tree symbology keeps coming up, or where they're kind of getting some of that symbology from.
I got another
Yeah.
question for you. If you look real close in Timothy Green, when the little whirlwinds hit the leaves and it makes like a little tornado, if you
Yeah.
pay close attention, it turns into DNA symbols both times.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I did notice that the leaves look like hearts in both movies.
Oh yeah, the leaves that were on him and that he gives to everybody were definitely green hearts.
Yeah, and then I think towards the end of Thousand Words, I don't know what scene it was, but you could kind of see the same thing. The leaves are actually shaped like hearts, which, in real life they kind of are too, but they really made them look like hearts, particularly in this movie, and you could tell they did it for a reason. Which is, a lot of what I talk about in my Think Book Chapter 2 is because the emptying out process is really the emptying out of your own, like your heart is like a vessel, and it's like you're emptying that out, and then kind of reconnecting with your, all the different parts of yourself and reintegrating yourself and coming to this different knowledge of yourself and the way the universe works and the way you, what your place is in it. And I really love the part in Timothy Green where he was, where the soccer game and then his friend, the girl, holds up the sign, "I'm with zero,"
I'm with
and he
zero.
was number zero. That's like my favorite. I think I'm gonna get a t-shirt with that on
I'm with
it.
zero.
Yeah, because that's like the number of the food card, in the
Right.
tarot. But it also reminds me a lot about, if you think about biblically, if Jesus saying, you have to become like a little child, it's like you're going back to basics in a way. You have to take it back to that zero state, and it's empty, emptying out. And then my Think Book Chapter, I'm the first chapter in the book, and then there's this big circle
Yeah.
right before
Ground
my chapter. It's
zero.
a zero. Yeah, so it's just like it's all just coming back. It's just coming full circle. It's like an empty, because it's like everything and nothing at the same time.
Right.
So,
Emptying out and fully encased at the same time. And by
yeah.
the way, Doug, as far as your intro goes, you made calling someone an ultimate fool sound flattering.
I
She
did. I
is.
took it as a compliment. Because the fool is the only one that's brave enough and stupid enough to do all this stuff.
Well,
It
is
really,
it
I think that's really what it is. The fool is
the
the only
fool is
one
the
that.
only. I mean, they're the interesting character. They don't know too much, but they're actually willing to learn when they do something interesting. Because the
And the
fool's the one
fool,
who makes things
yeah.
happen.
Yeah. And if you
Right.
notice also in Timothy Green, they talk about never giving up. The fool will never give up. The fool will never give up because the fool just always really still believes in whatever the thing is that he believes in. And so he'll just
It's.
keep trying over and over again. And you have to have that personality. You have to have that person who will just never give up and just keep trying to get to this point.
It's the fool who takes the leap.
Yeah, just jumps off the cliff.
Yep.
That's pretty much what it is, good or bad. That's what it comes down to. But it's almost like you have to be in that state, but you want to be in that state, but you don't want to just jump off the cliff. It's like you have to get the knowledge and the wisdom too, so you don't just jump off a cliff. You start to become conscious and you start to learn what cliffs to jump off of and
Well,
which
I think
cliffs not to.
that's the
Yeah.
symbol of the dog, I'm pretty sure, because the dog is the Hermes, or which basically symbolizes like all the knowledge of man. Do you get what I'm saying? Like Hermes wrote all
Yeah.
books and what so forth. So the dog is like the senses. You have the cliff, but the dog tells you which way to go.
So here's the universe's joke for Sybil and I is she's born on April 1st and I'm born on April 2nd, but my April Fool's joke was to wait an hour to be born on
Yeah.
April 2nd. But April 2nd, 1972 was Easter, and this communicates how the Alpha and the Omega are one, which is what she talks about in her Sync Book piece with the Jupiter numbers. The Alpha, the Fool, is the Omega. It's funny to me.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's all one thing. It's only there's only one thing, really.
The
There's all one thing, and we're all just emerging out of this one thing, and just the becoming aware of that, that you can choose to be experiencing life like in this state of in a separate state, but even so, you're still just part of this one thing. So all the same thing.
We're like one thing, and then we're looking at each other and saying, "Hey, we're one thing."
Yeah, we're one thing. Hey, guys. Yeah.
But that's an interesting thing because as little human creatures, too, we do have kind of like these filters because it is a lot. I think about this every once in a while, and we talked about it a little bit with Neil Kramer, how when you actually become your grandma, that is super heavy. To
Yeah.
your little egoic sense of self and separateness, have you ever experienced that boundary melting at all, Sybil?
I have experienced that because I have a kind of thing where I guess kind of empathic kind of thing where I can feel other people's emotions a lot of times, which in the beginning was very overwhelming for me because I really didn't know what it was and how to deal with it. But now that I've learned a lot about how to deal with it, I can actually, I that happens to me a lot where I'm actually like, I can feel what this other person is feeling at the moment, kind of sometimes in the experience. And when you can do that, it changes your life because you can't be the same person anymore. Like you can't harm another person when you realize when you harm that person, you feel what they're feeling, and it's like you're harming yourself. And you immediately just start making different choices because you can feel like when you say something to a person, the effect that it has, the effect that your words might have on them. Whereas before you didn't realize that, and because now you can actually feel it. And I think that's what's happening a lot in these movies too. Like when Eddie Murphy stopped talking, and then he actually started feeling the effects of, because he had to come up with different ways to communicate, and he was actually seeing how people were misinterpreting his words a lot of times, where before he wasn't even taking the time to stop and realize that. And you just start to become a lot more responsible for what comes out of your mouth and for the actions that you do, because you can immediately feel the effect of them. So, yeah, that happens to me.
See, the cool thing is these events that happen in our lives sometimes, bit like what happened to Philip K. Dick, where it takes you out of your personal reality tunnel and drops you into like Wonderland, are usually considered to be or called paranormal events. And one thing that happened in Timothy Green, well, I mean, I'm trying to raise my daughter in the way of Sink. I'm trying to make her a Sink samurai, but there was a part in the movie where right when the kid comes, because you know what's happening, the storm rolls in, the rain comes down. This is like a Fortean event or a paranormal event because it only rains on their house. Then there's a lightning strike, and when there's a lightning strike, it's like boom, everything's there, the kid's born. Do you know what I mean? And I leaned over to my daughter and I was like, "You see the whole creation happening with the lightning strike, just like in Frankenstein." Or, I gave her like Harry Potter's lightning strike. I told her all of that. And she leaned over to me and she goes, "It's like a UFO, Dad." Like, this is what happens when aliens come. So I didn't think about that, but it's like the alien life, or like an ET where it's hooked to the flower. The alien life was the kid or this other outside of JC, the mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
And then later on in the movie, the storm starts rolling in when you know Timothy's about to leave. And
Yeah.
the lightning strike happens again, but there's a scene where they're driving down the road and there's a lens flare, and the lens flare creates this little light at the top of your screen. And me and my daughter looked at each other and we were like, "UFO!"
It was definitely like that, because even in the beginning when he first came, the lightning strike, but I noticed something. It was something like the something going on with the roof. It almost like the roof almost came off or something. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was
because
totally like,
the water goes in reverse. You know how it's
oh, that's what it
raining,
was. Okay.
and the water started going up, like it like lifted up. It was totally UFO, like fucking
yeah
comes
yeah
down and then goes back up.
yeah it was
It's
totally odd.
right. It's supposed to put you in that mental like non-reality state is what it was supposed to put you in, and it worked. It did its job for sure.
And I love the way he explained to them how, when he was leaving, that this is the process. I don't stay. I come I think he said something like, I come to, I come to help, and then I leave and I go help the next person, in their journey. I don't stay, I don't stay forever. And then in The Thousand Words, it's kind of the same thing. The tree came to Eddie Murphy, and then after it helped Eddie Murphy, it went on to his, it showed up in his assistant's office in the form of a plant. It just
Oh
moved on to
yeah.
help the next person.
Yeah.
So it's like this force or this, I don't know, whatever people want to call it,
Do you
maybe
think
you
you
want to
can
say.
pass sync on as a contagion? I mean, do you try to talk to your family about it and so forth?
I do try sometimes. It's difficult because if people
Right.
aren't already open to it, it's hard. I think because to a certain extent, sync is something I think you have to have some type of personal experience first. To you have to actually be kind of seeking it first. Like someone can't just tell you about it and then you're just gonna, oh, let me go check out sync. I think if something has to happen to you in your life and then you have to seek after it. That's a strong part of the sync experience to me. If you actually personally go in, you have to dig this out for yourself. You have to dig your own hole, basically.
That.
Well,
Yeah.
you in your book you, or your piece, you say, I can only describe as an impassioned yearning to search for answers to philosophical and religious questions. And so it's like, which is really succinct because sometimes when I'm chasing a symbol, I don't know what the symbol means at all. And I still have a symbol that's driving me crazy, but that makes me want to ask you about your twins, because I'm just, you're obsessed and compelled by the French dancing twins, and I want to know if you can unpack that a little bit.
They just turn out to be a symbol for me. I think that everyone will have, as you go through the experience with sync, that you will have something, some symbol that appears to you, because it's basically sync is going to come to you. And I say this in the chapter, whatever way it can, like it's like through whatever mechanism it needs to, and whatever you're going to notice, whatever's going to like catch your attention the best, and that's probably the way it's going to come. And so everybody, well, you guys all know, for me, I love Michael Jackson.
You're right.
And I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan. So the thing with the French twins, I didn't even know anything about them. I was just going to see Michael Jackson and Cirque du Soleil, and I bought my ticket like a year in advance, and because I'm like, had to have my ticket, and I was going to go see it in Vegas because that was his favorite city, and all this. So turned out that they end up being the lead dancers in the show. I didn't know anything about them. I see them, and then it's just like as soon as I saw them, I just saw this. I don't know. I just had this feeling, this connection between them and Michael Jackson and myself. And
That show had hearts in it all over the place, too.
oh yeah, all over the place. And watching them dance, I know it just gave me a person. I just had a personal connection, through them, through Michael, and all of that. And I just started, just I'm not even into dance or anything like that. I just started following them, and paying attention to things that they do. And it's just kind of led me. This past year just kind of led me on a path where a lot of things have changed in my life just from me paying attention to them and following them. And so I think, particularly at this particular time in, I don't know, history, if you want to call it, you should, people, if I could say one thing, people should really pay attention to, what's pulling you in your life right now. And if you see something that seems like a symbol, just really coming through to you like that, follow it, because it's not necessarily, it's not you worshiping the symbol or just idolizing people or anything like that. It's more like the energy and the feel of it, and it can lead you into maybe somewhere that you need to go in your life. It's not necessarily the people, it's not necessarily the people themselves. Because you know how we talk about in sync all the time, the people can be, they're like, they can be like an archetype or a symbol. They're just people, but they don't even know
Right. They're
that
wearing the
they're
mask of God.
yeah, so they're just dancing, this is what they do, so it's
Yeah.
not that them, so I don't even really like to talk about them really, that much on a personal level, because they're just two guys, two young guys that are doing their thing out there, and they're beautiful dancers. But to they're a symbol to me, and once I started following them and meeting other fans, they're a symbol to all these other people. All these other people, I'm talking to them, and they're having the same experience that I've had, and we don't even know each other. So it did turn out to be something really dynamic for me. And then actually the experience I had with Timothy Green, where I said something happened the week before, was actually Lay Twins related, because they came here. They were here in Atlanta week before last. So they just started showing up, showing up in my life a lot. So it's really interesting, but I think it's just, that's just my personal, it's a personal symbol for me. But I think people are gonna find a symbol in their lives. It's gonna be something that comes through to you. That's gonna kind of help guide you, in a way. I don't know
Yeah, there's little
what you want to
clusters. Like,
call it.
I'm dealing with the ED. You see, the ED that we were talking about earlier, the 54 is weird because that basically came from Jim and Jake and a personal experience. And it's so hard to understand other people's personal experiences, but I've always found I'm like, I don't know why they're going off about this Higher State 54 Ed thing. And then a month or two later, it will pop up in your life. So I like the community that we've built through Sync because we can communicate, well, this is what I've experienced. But you're right, there is a very personal flavor to all of this.
Yeah, there really is. And like the number four has always been really special to me in my life. Things happen around the number four. And it's just something I always say, even before I got into Sync or anything like that. And it's weird because I think somewhere on one of my social networking accounts, before I was ever into Sync, I would always, on my little tagline was, I'm a four trying to become a five. And I didn't even really like, had no idea like really what that actually meant. I just felt that it's just something I came up with. And then when I found out about the Ed and the 54, I'm like, oh yeah, it all ties in. And so, it's all there, and then yeah, it's great being in the community because sometimes you see things, other people's personal experience you can't necessarily relate at the time, and then later on, 'cause sometimes we're at different points, we're at different points, and then the person might be a little bit further ahead than you are or something, and then you catch up and then you're like, oh yeah, I see it
Yeah.
now. So yeah.
But that
And
goes into what you were saying about empathy. I mean, the real, really and truly conflict happens in the human life is because we don't have empathy for the other individual's experience.
exactly.
But once
But
you do,
even
you start realizing that it's hard to be right. I mean, your point of view, you can't trust your own point of view once you realize that everybody else's point of view is just as correct as your own.
But
right.
how do you like that's the thing. If and this comes from a book, so an experience is so subjective. I say this is yellow, and we can point at the school bus together, but that doesn't mean that your yellow and my yellow are even remotely connected.
They might be the exact same thing, though.
They might. And I think this is what science assumes, that we, that's why science kind of boxes things and flattens things out, is because we just assume that yellow is the same for everyone. But like
I've
Sybil was
thought
saying,
about this a lot. I think that colors are archetypical. But there are situations like the memory you have of a room or the memory you have of an event change. Like, I love that feeling when somebody comes up to you that you haven't seen in 14 years and you're like, you remember when we? And inside your head, you're like, no, I don't remember that, but I remember this. And then they're like, well, I don't remember that. And you're like, did we just fucking have two different friendships 14 years ago? But the same is true for a movie. Like, movies change when you watch them again.
yeah, this is true, and this is why I think where the things coming through a symbol comes in, because when it comes through a symbol, I think I talk about some of that in my chapter as well. It's like certain symbols are just like universal and they don't change. There's like
Right.
it means the same thing to us that it meant to like the Phoenicians and the Egyptians. It's the same thing in our. It's actually maybe kind of actually kind of built in. I think there's some built-in symbols in the universe that just are what they are, that don't change. And so when something starts to come through to you in sync, it's really important. It's going to come through in a symbol that's unchangeable, in a way, or through someone who represents or is an archetype of a symbol that's unchangeable, because things in this world are so, just out of whack. And so there's so many things out there that's just backwards and wrong. And then there's certain things that just are truth. And I think there's a difference. You get to a point where when you see something, you know when it's real, like that thing is real, that it may be one thing, but that one thing is real and it's authentic. And that is the truth. That's truth. And I think there's a statement in the movie in the Thousand Words where the guru guy says that there's three things that'll be revealed: the sun, the moon, and the truth. Because the
You
what's
know, okay, so this is Sybil Hunter we're talking to, the one of the 26 contributing authors in the first volume, actually the first chapter in there. And you can also find her work at The Mask of God, right?
Yes, I do contribute sometimes.
The Mask of God.blogspot.com, is that correct?
Correct.
It's evolving. That's an interesting. I've talked about that with people, how we wear different masks for a time, and it becomes something. And
Make no mistake, if you are reading this book, you did not stumble upon it by accident. You have been guided here by a combination of your own curiosity and an unquenchable thirst caused by some unseen force. More than likely, you have been or will soon be faced with a difficult, unfamiliar choice, and you are fervently seeking out answers in an attempt to make some sense of it. You are the midwife to certain individuals' experience with sync.
Well, that's what I wanted to be. I didn't even know I was going to be the first chapter. You know, we didn't know what order we were going to be in, but I think it turned out to be quite well. Because actually, when I wrote this, I really had only been aware of the sync community and really getting into things for maybe, I don't know, 5 months, 4 or 5 months. And so I was very new to it myself, and I knew what a impression it had on me and what a effect it had on my life. And I just tried to write from the perspective of someone who's just finding out about sync and is looking for some answers. Cause like I was, you know, going through the same experience I was, and I didn't know a whole lot at the time, but I was just trying to learn as much as I could, as fast as I could. And so that's kind of the perspective that I wanted to write my chapter from somebody you just found out about it or things just started happening. You just started questioning things and
it's really gutsy. Just it's so confident to start the sync book with such a confident statement. You know, make no mistake, you're here by design. You're supposed to be here, and I'm reassuring you. And that's
and shit. Okay. We're cool. I know.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure about that. Because I mean, this is the type of book. I mean, you don't just go in the bookstore and like, I think I want to just, you know, pick up the sync book. It's not like that. It's the kind of thing where, like, it would be great if everybody did think that way. But it's the kind of thing where you had to have been looking. You know, you had to have been on this subject and you had to have been digging. You know, like some of the stuff I used to be looking up. I'm up in the middle of the night on the internet looking up. You know, I'm on Wikipedia reading about mythology and things like that. I mean, it's like I had to be just actually looking at these subjects and seeking these subjects. And I think the first thing I stumbled across was because I was looking up mythology and stuff. Then I stumbled across Jake Kotze's work with the synchro mysticism. So, yeah. It wasn't something that was something I never would have seen had I not been, you know, searching on my own. So I know for someone to have this book and be reading it, either someone just gave it to you or you were searching for it. But even if someone gave it to you, it's probably because you need to have it.
Well, that's our 42 minutes. We have a few seconds left. Do you have anything interesting you're going to need to plug, Sybil? You know, anything that you're curious about that you're going to move towards?
No, not really. I'm just, you know, over here trying to create my world. And I just, you know, I hope everyone does pay attention to being very detailed in their creation. And my favorite line from the movie Inception, dream bigger, darling.
We'll end it there. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great.
That was awesome.